found in Greek philosophy. Now, not only did we have that objection raised early in the church history by Tertullian, but the objection was raised afresh with a vengeance in the 19th century with the liberal school of theology, where the liberal school of theology with people like the church historian Adolf von Harnack and the theologian Albrecht Ritschl, indicated that early on in church history, the church was corrupted by the intrusion of Greek philosophy. When you go as early as the 4th century to the Council of Nicaea, in which the Trinity was defined, and it was said that God is one in essence and three in person, that the categories that were used therein to define the Trinity and the two natures of Christ, with the phrase homoousios, that Christ has the same essence as the Father, that this theological language of Nicaea was laden with Greek philosophical concepts, and that we need to break free of the stranglehold that Greek philosophy has had on the thinking of the theologians over the ages. This was one of the concepts argued by the 19th century liberals. Well, that view of liberalism has made enormous inroads into the evangelical church of the 20th and 21st centuries, where we have this new sense of a rejection of systematic theology because it seeks to have a rational, coherent understanding of the whole scope of Scripture rather than looking verse by verse, bit by bit, at the text of Scripture and allowing the Scripture to speak for itself. The charge is that systematicians impose a philosophical system on the Bible and try to squeeze everything to fit into this preconceived system that is borrowed from Greek philosophy. Now, I'm a systematic theologian, and of course, I represent that remark in this sense, that I hear this criticism all the time. And of course, the task of systematic theology is never to impose a foreign system on the Scriptures and then force the Scriptures to fit it like a Procrustean bed, but rather that what we try to do as systematicians is look at the whole scope of Scripture and try to have a coherent understanding, finding the system of thought that is in the Bible, not that we impose on it. Now, that does presuppose that when God speaks, He speaks coherently. It does presuppose that God has given us minds to understand His Word in a coherent, rational way, not in an absurd, disjointed, irrational manner. And yet this anti-systemic concept today is linked in many cases and in many circles to this antipathy that people have towards Greek philosophy. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is, for better or for worse, like it or not, God the Holy Spirit chose the Greek language to have the New Testament written. And as long as the New Testament was written in Greek, the language of the Greeks is now with us forever in terms of our understanding of the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that you interpret the New Testament Greek in light strictly of Greek philosophy. You can't do that. You have to understand that even though the language was Greek, the concepts came from the Hebrew world, and they were simply communicated through the tool of the Greek language. And it's true that Hebrew writing tends to be more imaginative, more graphic in the sense of more pictures than abstractions, but it would be an insult to the Jews to assume that the Greeks were coherent and the Hebrews were incoherent, or that God gave minds to the Greeks, but He didn't give minds to the Hebrews. Hebrew thought still is rational thinking. and it still seeks to be coherent, and the mind is of supreme importance to the Jewish understanding of the things of God, just as that would be the case with the Greeks. But having said that, we're still left with this problem of the difference between the idea of God that one would